Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to rediscover your true essence and the meaning of your life. Today I am delighted to welcome Deborah Silverman, author of The Missing Element. Deborah has been the psychologist and astrologer that celebrities turn to when things aren't going according to plan. As Sting wrote in his endorsement of her book, Deborah Silverman reminds you what fun it is to be you, the singular, freakish, awkward you, and she also reminds you of your potential, of your gifts to the world, and of your place in it. Hello, Deborah, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Cheryl. Glad to be here.
Deborah, as listeners of Healing From Within well know, my guests and I seek through metaphysical awarenesses and approaches, ways to understand our spiritual and also the human condition, so we may be empowered by universal forces that lead us to know more about self, the world, and universe, and live our most connected and purposeful lives. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Deborah will help us look at our physical and emotional being as seen through personality types, which include the four elements, water, earth, air, and fire, as understanding these parts of our essence so we can help our spirit heal, overcome addictions or personal limitations, and bring about welcome changes in our life through awareness and knowing ourselves better. Deborah, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and share an experience, a person, an interest or value that was most important and which may have been the link to the adult values and lifestyle that are really important to you now. Because I think there's a blueprint for a person's life or destiny, and it's with the child from the very beginning. So think back for a minute.
You know, I have a very strong memory of when astrology first came in my life, which I was young. I was like, so funny. I must have been like a teenager in junior high when I got my first astrology book, but I first got my chart done when I was like eight. In the Detroit News, they had a cartoon section and you could sign your name. And then they would send you a chart, and this is so crazy because I didn't really know what I was doing. I was so little, and then it came in the mail, and it was the wrong birth date that I put down. It was like, and I didn't know how to return it. It was just so impressive. But I clearly was drawn at that sweet age of eight, and then again when I was probably like 12 or 13, I got a book on astrology that had to do with your sunshine and your moon. I don't know how they did it, but they, and I knew, and to this day, I know all the friends that I grew up with. I knew, and when I went to my 40th high school reunion last summer, I knew all their charts, their signs, because I had such a crazy memory. So this qualitative, like, fascination, like the quality, this, like, the passion for astrology started at such a young age. And then by the time I was 19, 20, I was doing professional readings, and I had basically self-trained myself. I didn't ever have a teacher. And I would have been like the kid that they would have put at the piano when they were little, and would have started playing full songs, and the mom would have said, uh-oh, we didn't even give him lessons. So somehow I must have been like an astrology prodigy, because I
right.
found it so young.
I would say you had the best teacher. You had your soul memory and your connection to the universe, because astrology is a very ancient science. The beginning
yes.
way we came to know our alignment to the planets and the universe and the personality traits that we have as a result of the time we're born and other influences from the universe, I think it was within you. It was
to
remember it and then to refine it and rediscover it and use your talents, which maybe you've had in past times and places or lifetimes.
I had a dream when I started that I used to have this little Chinese lady show up in my life when I was a kid that I don't know why, but she was always in my dreams. And she showed up and she said that to me. She said, she was screaming at me, "Stop acting dumb. You've been doing this for lifetimes."
And the next thing I knew...
Yeah, and that's how it started. So, yes, you're right. It was a past life memory. I didn't know what that meant then, but
of course,
the download just came in, and I was doing professional astrology at such a young age.
Yeah, Absolutely. We come in with our inner awareness. Perhaps it's not in our ego and mind and what we're being taught or trained to think of as reality, but the reality of who we are as energy beings having a physical life is already there, and the wisdom is already there, and our life plan is already there. We only have to discover it, remember it, and go forward and build on it. And that's great. That's a great story. Thank you very much for that story. Now, you speak about elders in your book. What do you mean by the elders?
You know, we've lost track with the wisdom that was in people that lived in indigenous culture. So I'm presently in Hawaii as we speak. And the Hawaiians always, before every ceremony, they have a conch, like a big shell that they use in the synagogues, where they would blow, and they still do this in any school ceremony or anywhere you go in Hawaii before a wedding. They go to the four directions and they blow the horn and they call in their elders and their ancestors. And that's true in the Jewish synagogue too. During a Saturday synagogue, they will start their ceremony, not start it, but in the middle of it, they will call forward all the ancestors' names. And so this is an ancient memory that we've disregarded because we've lost holiness. We don't know how to pray and how to be in our spiritual self.
Yes.
And so the gift that...
We've forgotten the language of the soul. You're right. Now, when I started to have my remembrances about 23 years ago, and I was learning Reiki energy healing and developing my mediumship abilities, they were always there, but I had not been focusing on that. I was more interested in the physical world for a time in my life. But the words fire, earth, air, and water kept running through my head. And it's like,
really?
Like the words time and space, because I was remembering and I was relearning the importance of this in who we are as spiritual beings. Yeah, I write about that in my book, The Living Spirit and Life is No Coincidence, how these words kept coming back, and little by little, more information came to me and more understanding of what you were just talking about. The knowledge has always been there. The wisdom of who we are and what we're here on this earth to do in our physical life is with us from the beginning. But we have to just remember it. We have to go
back
to it.
That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. And it's so true. I mean, it is a timeless language. That's how the book begins, as you know, was that the elements have been disregarded. And it's all about, we've lost contact.
Mm-hmm.
With the basics, like back at the ranch. I'm just looking at your book. That's so cool, Living Spirit. And that is basically what this book, my book, is about, is trying to give people a practical approach. Like, how do you use this woo-woo stuff, all these metaphysical laws,
mm-hmm.
on a day-to-day basis with your kid, with your dog, with your husband, with your, you know, how do you actually have a relationship that's not just reading these books, but actually applying it? And that's the part that I'm excited about in the book.
Yeah,
it's a practical...
That's why I loved your book, because it gave us a way to remember and to know how to put it into practice. Because when you understand who you are and you understand other people are the same, because we're all sharing the same energy, ultimately the energy of creation and life, you become more comfortable in your physical life and you stop with judgment and negativity. You are able to accept and surrender to the beauty and goodness of yourself and life and have more self-love, and everything just gets better for you and other people. That's how we bring peace into the world. And at this time in the world, we so sorely need each of us to improve ourselves so we can improve the world. But let's go on to talk about the turning of the tides or the change of eras and what you mean about that, because I was just starting to talk about that. So tell us about that.
Look where we live. It's crazy. Look what we're doing right now. We're on a telephone. We're sneaking into people's ears. We're like taking the electronic waves that we can't see that are everywhere now, and we've got this cross-cultural conversation going across billions of people on Facebook. I mean, it's like, you think about your grandparents and their grandparents. This would have been a science fiction dream. We're in the Jetsons.
Mm-hmm.
So the era has completely shifted. It's not vague. It's true. We get on airplanes and we get on to, now they have cars driving themselves, and pretty soon we'll have ability to shape-shift. So we're in this crazy time period, but that doesn't negate back at the basics, back at the ground level, how do you deal with your emotions? How do you deal with your mind? How do you deal with your food? How do you deal, like, all the practical places where we get lazy and we're not motivated to eat well. We're not motivated to exercise. So no matter how technically advanced and the era is shifting, if we don't have our emotional body tended to, which is simply remembering why you're here, like, that's what my work is. People call me and I do sessions and I remind them why they're here. I literally give them their assignment. Like, this is what you signed up for. Now, are you doing it or not?
I do the same thing as a Reiki energy practitioner. I do readings for people. You do astrology readings. I download information from energy and spirit to help them know their life plan. It's like a report card from heaven or spirit. Are you on your path, and are you doing the best you can? We want you to be healthy. We want you to be happy. We want you to fulfill your mission and your destiny, and we want to help the planet and other people. So thank you very much for what you say. We cannot forget. What you just said is absolutely right. We cannot forget what we're here to do. And this technology, unfortunately, is confusing a lot of people and making many new problems. But we have to remember, first and foremost, we're a spiritual being having a physical life, and it is very important for us to refine and develop ourselves first and foremost. And then, you know what they say, we wish to give to people and we wish to receive back the same thing we give, or in the giving, yeah, the receiving. And it's an interchange of energy and emotions and feelings. And if we send out the wrong vibes and the wrong behavior, then we get it right back in our face. So, yes, we want to help people remember how important it is to use these tools. Your work is a tool. My work is a tool. It's simply a tool. But we are the beings, and we just have to become more of ourselves and less of worrying about doing, you know. And you talk about the personality types according to the four elements and how understanding your type helps. So tell us something about the four elements and what type and what they represent.
So water is the emotional people. They're the introverts. They're the ones that are sensitive and they feel everything and they don't want to talk much and they just want to stay at home and they love their comfort. They love to cook and they love to dream and to do poetry, and they tend to be, they can get addicted to, you know, cigarettes or to television or to gambling or to any kind of addiction because they're so sensitive. That's water. Think of tears. And air people are the talkative ones. They love communicating in words and all the time people and networking and Facebook and socializing, and they have a real gift for writing, and I can see you've got quite a gift with air. And then earth are the practical people. They're super grounded, and they're all about money and numbers, being on time and executing and insurance and all the practical things in life that make us feel safe. And then the last one's fire, and those are the people that are super loud, and they're indulgent, and they're, you know, blunt, and they stick their foot in their mouths, and they get really animated, and they get in trouble because they can't hold back. They just love to speak to whatever they see, and they don't hold, they just have this uninhibited sensibility.
Well, I have all of it. I have a little bit.
Yes, you do.
Of
and
all
you can't
of it.
Live without any of them. Right.
Right, and you say in your book it's very important to know. You may be more, you may be into more of one of the elements or two of the elements or three of the elements, but you actually have a presence in all of it, and that is healthy to have a little bit of all of it.
Right, and you're looking for the missing element. The name of the book is The Missing Element. So
yeah.
You're looking for what is the element that's lowest,
right,
so you can cultivate it.
Weakest or lowest is a good way to put it, so that you can help it to grow, because we want to be balanced in all the areas that you just told us about. Now you go on to talk about, this is very important, the function of the observer in our daily life. And where did you learn about this?
You know, it's such a funny story. When I was really young, it's a funny story. I met a woman, I was in graduate school, and I was a roommate for her. She was a Ballantine dancer from New York City, a great ballerina. And she had found these books and a teacher, teachings by Ouspensky and Gurdjieff. This is like back in the early 80s, like the late 70s. And I started reading this book all about the spiritual principle of being able to stand back and watch yourself and not get caught in the judgments that the mind has when it thinks that it knows you better than you do. Like, it's always, you should do this, and you should do that, nee, 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 nee. So I learned the function of stepping away and looking at myself without judgment, and it was trained to me directly through the spiritual teaching of Gurdjieff. But I wasn't like one of, to be a Gurdjieff practitioner, you had to be picked out. It was all mysterious. No one could know you were in the group, and it was really a wonderful esoteric group. But I did get the indirect teaching, so that's how I found it. And then ever since then, whenever drama happens or crisis or people get scared, I teach them how to stop, take a breath, turn on your observer, and know that your soul is standing right next to you, wanting you to slow down, not speed up. So I practiced and I taught people how to learn to calm down. And that's what the observer does. No judgments, compassion, kindness, all the things we all wish we could do, and you can learn it.
Well, the observer is actually your inner being or your soul, which is helping you to balance your mind or your ego or physical world without judgment, because it has knowingness. And I also studied in an esoteric school years ago, so I'm familiar with who you're talking about here. And there was a book I read while I was in that school that discussed also personality types, not the four elements, but body types. It was a European Academy of Arts and Music. And it was a group that met here in New York, and I was invited into it. And I went for meetings for a few years, and I was with very mindful people, very talented, gifted, open-minded people, talking about ideas like this, about the observer, and getting to a point where you could quiet your physical body long enough to be in alignment to spiritual energy.
Because
that's how you find your sense of peace and well-being, and information comes in that's so helpful to you in on your journey, on your life journey, and whatever it is you need to do, however large or small, it's just very helpful stuff. But you wrote this, and I'd like to read it. Over the years as a therapist, astrologer, I noticed that many of my clients wanted to rid themselves of the parts of their personality that they disliked. It became clear to me that the extent of their grief and pain was equal to how much they stifled the most natural parts of themselves. We are who we are. You cannot change your stripes. So embracing all your traits, those conceived as good or bad, are necessary for living life authentically, to appreciate and love yourself. And when you love yourself as you are in your natural state, that allows you to have more compassion for others and understand why they are so sensitive or talkative or shy or outgoing. And becoming the observer allows you to do all that. So it's obviously a very important aspect that we'd like our listeners to think about and try to become aware that it's there for them. They just have to quiet themselves long enough to become neutral without judgment, right?
It's kind of like if you imagine a wise grandparent, you imagine that you're, it doesn't matter how old you are, that you want to be an elder. The elder listens to the child or listens to the tale or listens to the drama, and they are calm when they're listening.
Well,
and then they provide.
I am a grandparent, and I do that, so you could call me
exactly.
A neutral observer.
Then you get some advice or you get some counsel, and you're always so compassionate, like, honey, it's okay. And that's the same voice that lives inside of you that you could, if you could give it to yourself, you could imagine how different life would be.
But wouldn't it be great if we could hear that when we're beginning in our life and not have to wait till we have a little maturity to get there. So
right, so that's why I said,
I
know there's a whole bunch of young people right now alive who are way more evolved than I am. Like, there's these new indigo children coming in that are so wise and so old. So eldership has nothing to do with years of age. It has to do with consciousness. And, you know, it's so obvious that you're an old soul. There's some people that just come in, you're like, how do they know all this?
It's there. It's imprinted. It's the wisdom of the universe. We're all part of the same energy and the DNA of forever, and our ancestors are life itself. So it's within each of us. It's just we have to have the right circumstances, hopefully a teacher, a parent, a friend, an interest that we have will open us to it. Or a dream. Sometimes people become aware of these things through dreams. Yeah, for me, that's what it is. And I've learned that there was a time when I thought I had to produce. I had to be part of the system, and I had to be very productive. But that's not really what life is about. Life is about just seeing the beauty and kindness and compassion and love that's available to all of us. But you can't see that when you're moving too fast and trying to do things. You have to be part of it all, the movement of the energy and the evolution. So it took me a while to discover that. But I'm so grateful that I did at any point
in
life.
And do you know what element that is?
Yes, what is that?
Water, that's what you're missing.
Oh, no, actually, when I read water, I thought I was very much water.
Well, the stillness part. Know how to let water really rule your life. You get to let stillness be the centerpiece.
Well, yes, I'm becoming more like that now. So if that was missing and not as strong, it definitely is becoming very much a part of how I'm living life right now. So, yeah, when I read that, I thought I was very much water.
What element did you feel was you were missing?
I thought, to be very honest with you, earth was a little weak, and I was more into fire and water and air. And,
uh-huh.
And earth was a little weak, and I'm an earth sign, being born in September.
Yep.
So I thought that was a little weak for me.
Well, that's a good thing to know. It doesn't really matter what sign you are. That's why the book is not about astrology. The book is, I mean, it has astrology in it, but it's really about the elements. And so if you discover you're low on earth, it just means you got to step up the game around organizing.
Yes.
And cleaning. And
yeah, it made it very, very clear of what
my
strengths were. And it will for our listeners, too. If you read this book, you're going to become very clear of what your strengths are, and also you're going to want more of what's in the other element, because they're all important to becoming a balanced and well-functioning and happy and productive human being. So it's like what I was telling you before. In the mystery school, I had studied body types. There are 7 body types. They're the Venusian, they're the Luna, they're the Saturn, the Martial, the Solar, the Mercurial, and the Jovial. And every one of us fits a certain body type, and because of that body type, we have a personality that matches the body type. And so when you understand this, you can accept people. They're the way they are because they have to be that way. It's not that they're, you know, that they want to necessarily make you upset or angry. They just are functioning according to, as we're saying here, their element sign or their body type sign. And it's just natural. And when we understand that, we can accept everyone and everything just the way they are, which is a good way to do things.
It's so beautiful. You've said it so well.
I want to thank you, Deborah Silverman, for a unique way to think of personality types as aligned to the 4 elements, water, earth, air, and fire, and showing us still another way to appreciate the journey of the soul as it is affected by personal and world karma and universal source. To read more about this approach for self-investigation and self-mastery of your emotional life, go to DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have taken a look at Deborah's book, The Missing Element, in order to find the elements of water, air, earth, and fire, and the qualities of those factors that reside within each of us, partially defining our personalities and the way we perceive and respond to the world. The point of this book is to help you recognize all 4 necessary elements of yourself and balance them in equal proportions and express them properly. In recognizing the observer or witness or our soul or higher self, we can integrate our human or ego-based mind reality and work with our inner essence that enables us to understand human nature, and we can accept life in all its quirkiness, and we can understand our inner world. Deborah wrote, Once we begin to wake up to the compassionate observer in ourselves, the part of us who worships the privilege to be in a body, alive and of service to humanity, then we can move beyond our personal drama and tend to selfless acts of service in a world that needs help so badly. Our purpose on earth is to accept our humanness with an open, tender heart and evolve the species by remembering that we are a healing agent and we are all evolving and changing. As you do your independent work of truly being yourself, we all benefit. Deborah and I would have you realize that at this critical tipping point in our human history, we can find our way to a positive future by beginning with investing the time and energy into developing ourselves, accepting ourselves, surrendering to life with love and compassion for others, and utilizing the energies of water, air, earth, and fire to be a more balanced, highly functioning, and mindful person. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to meet and greet leaders in the field of human potential, self-development, and to answer the age-old questions you ask yourself daily. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you for listening.